So we're learning Alichot of Ben Adam Echaviro.
The mitzvah to bring peace between two people. There's people, two people which are not they're not doing too well together. So the mitzvah to bring shalom, to have peace between them. Chayav adam mitroach b'drishat tov l'amo v'chol nafsho al takanat chaverav ben dal ben ashir. Zot min hachamurot min haikarim v'drishim min adam. Kmo shalim v'drishim min adam. Avad shalom v'nal chaverav v'yisrei b'dein v'mishnah. And one of the most important things is to bring peace between a man and his wife, right? Husband and wife, and between between two people. Okay? Like Aaron Akoin did. How's his job? Chiyuv miyuchad v'inyan avaat shalom v'yirdof acharav v'lo la'amtin ad sh'yivakshu la'ashkin shalom. And they kach mitrabe yishuv ha'olam v'aratz mitkayemet. The special mitzvah, not to wait. Okay? So someone comes and asks you, please come and do peace between these two people. If you see a problem, you should go there and try to fix it. Even though it's not your thing, not your business. It is your business. There's two people that they don't have peace within themselves. It is your business to go and try to sort it out for them.
For sure, it's your business.
Yeah.
Because it really is a lot of, I mean, that's like on a scale, half the people would say that's not your business. There's no involvement.
That's the American way. What do you mean? It's not.
You could have another.
You could all kill each other. I have my own life.
What? Where'd you?
The American way is live. Yeah, live and let me live. Right? Doesn't work like that. Not in Judaism. We're all one.
My father-in-law would always say, "Keep your head down." But then again, he was from Poland before the Holocaust. And the anti-Semitism was pretty extreme.
That would mean that every synagogue that has a pulpit rabbi would be the person whose job was that.
Yeah. Someone who does that, he marries to a long life. Or a long life? Oh! What you just said is halacha over here. Ra'ui, it's fitful, it's appropriate. In every place, every kahila should have certain people there, which, a man and a woman also that's in charge between the women, to make sure that there's peace and there's problems, to make sure to sort the things out.
Okay? Yeah?
Yeah.
In what?
So in bells they have this. It's in the bells kahila.
That's
yeah, unbelievable. And anyone who puts peace between people, Muftach lo, shu ben olam haba. Mechubeh.
Hmm?
No. My colleague, we work together. He teaches with me downstairs. I'm shouting to Akshari, Michael. What's the domeli? The coin. So, bringing peace between people is not only that they won't have a machloket anymore and they won't hate each other. Mitzvah is to bring the peace back and the love back like it was before they fought. Not just the, what is it called, the Cold War? The Cold War, like between America and Russia was. Not to have the Cold War. No, I love him. Keep him on that side of the shul. That's on that side of the shul. We love each other very much. As a, no, that's not the mitzvah is even more. To bring them together, Amash, to be together again, be friends. Okay. It's such a big mitzvah to bring peace between people that the poskim, there's a discussion amongst the poskim. You have to make a bracha when they become friends again, did they make a bracha or not? L'maisa, we don't make a bracha, but you see that how important it is even make a bracha. Sometimes you can make a bracha for the thing that means peace comes back between two people. It's a big thing. Netina v'kablat matana. We're going to talk about now about receiving gifts. It says it's a pious midah not to accept gifts. Like it says in the pasuk, "Sane matanot yichyeh." Can Mishle? Right, someone who hates gifts, he'll live. He has a long life. Can? And someone who's used to getting gifts, and when he distanced himself from the trait of bitachon, trusting Hashem, and he could also stumble in the sin of coveting someone else's stuff, and he brings himself, keeps all kinds of bad things. But I'll tell you another thing: when he's talking about gifts here, he's not talking about someone comes now and gives you a gift for your birthday. No, I'm sorry, no, I don't take your gift. It's hurting your person. I'm not talking about that kind of gift. The gifts, the more that he's talking about here, it seems from all kinds of things that he says here, it's more like gifts like he's getting used to it. People pay his bills and they come in every month. Don't you get used to that? Trust Hashem. Because I don't have to trust Hashem, kivyachol, right? I don't need, now someone who bought me a safe on my birthday, I need a safer. He's doing it, he wants to make it feel good. So he's buying me a bottle of wine or a book or a bouquet of flowers. Although that's not something that I need to trust Hashem for. I don't need it. B'chan. It's just for the good feeling that we're friends. But now we talk about gifts. But I note here, as someone, I need to pay the electricity bill, I need to pay the water bill, I need to pay the rent, right? And I don't have the money. And if I go and trust Hashem, I could also get from people. But if I go and trust people, okay, that's when a person distances himself from the trade of bitachon, trusting Hashem. We have to live with trust Hashem. Okay.
So how do you pay the bills?
What?
How do you pay the bills?
Well, you go to the national or somewhere in Yoshinara,
huh? Well, that's what you do.
I don't know. It's not what I do. It's what you do.
No, I'm saying, you say trust in Hashem, but I'm saying, you can't go to the electric company and say, I trust in Hashem, and they'll say, hey.
You trust Hashem, and then you do whatever Hashem leads you, but you don't go and trust people. And not your job either.
To trust people.
You don't trust people. I tell you an example. I had someone who's, every month he calls his parents, right? He's married for who knows how many years. He calls his parents, Abba, I need money for the rent this month. I don't have money. Can you give me money? And then he calls there, and he calls the babi, and this and that. It's a lack of bitachon. Like Rav Auer says, either you have the trait of bitachon and the money comes to you, or go work. Just see where you are. Don't go trust people. Depend on people.
That's
what
Rabbi
Rush
says?
Yeah, all the time he said it. Yeah, we stay in Tehillim, exactly, every day. Don't trust the divin. Don't trust people give you.
The key is Yeshua.
And not Yeshua.
Whatever they have is temporary.
Right, you can have today, you can have it tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
How much?
I don't think parents can do that for their children.
What do you mean?
Do it. The child calls up and says,
obviously, I'm not talking for the parents' side. I'm talking for the kids' side. The kid shouldn't call the parents.
Well, the kid should not call the parents.
I mean, it's better if he goes get a job. And don't sit in Koilel. Don't sit in Koilel. Right? And every month call someone else. Can you give me money? No. You manage. You don't manage. Trust Hashem. You trust Hashem and the money didn't come yet. So go work. Do something. Rav Auer says, if you... Rabbi Odessa writes this. That's how you know you trust Hashem, right? You say you have bitachon, you have the trait of bitachon. But you see that when the end of the month comes, you don't have the money for the rent. You don't have. So that proves that you're not there yet in that level, and go get the money somehow. Now, if someone makes with someone, if someone's really serious and is learning, and he makes with a businessman a deal that, right, he wants to give him money and they can sit and learn, it's perfect. It's a business deal. You sit and cut it and get a certain amount of money, beautiful. Not depending on anyone. That's part of how you make the money, so. If you see it's not enough for you, so trust Hashem and daven. And if you see it's not enough for you, so go work. And if no one could tell you where you are, what level you're at, each one has to know themselves where he's up to. So, what up? You going? Here, for example. Nagu latet matana lechatam elakala biyom chupatam. There's a minhag to give gifts to the chasam kala. Everyone knows that, right? You buy them stuff, you give them things, you give them a check, or you give them stuff for the house, whatever you do, right? There's no problem. That's how you're supposed to do it. Just make them happy. And they have no problem with receiving these gifts. That's the minhag, that's the way. It's like I said, for your birthday, for this, for that. You don't trust it. Again, or someone had a baby, you give them some money. And as a gift, that's not a problem. But someone who always is depending on people, right, and he's looking for this gift, to buy up. You know how to, a man is not allowed to send a personal gift to a woman, and a woman can't send a personal gift to a man, unless, right, this is why, or his mother, right, of course he allowed to, or his grandmother, or his sister, of course he allowed to, but not talking about otherwise. Ken?
You
understand
why the woman can't send the
bank
instead of the woman?
It's a Kenyan.
Why can't the woman send
the bank? Because it makes a strong connection. Why does it make
you
need to book? Okay, you ask a question in a second. So. It makes a kesher between them. Right? They give them a personal thing. But there's a man who's running the business and he gave all the workers gifts. It's not a problem. It's not a personal gift. Right? But if someone comes personally, right, gives a woman a gift, or opposite, right, the woman makes a kesher between them. That's a soul. What do you ask of that?
No, because it's a makeup of time.
That's not a gift. It's a gift.
It's a lifeline.
Huh? Okay, you have to give them the books. It's like saying if someone is dying, you can't give him IV because it's a gift. If someone is dying, right? If someone is dying, he's sick, you have to give him a pill. It's a gift. Not a gift. You can save me his life. Okay? So. On Purim, the halacha, a woman doesn't send a man mishlach manot, and a man doesn't send a woman mishlach manot. But matanot le'avyonim, yes. Right? Tzedakah, a woman will allow to give to a woman, and a woman will allow to give to a man. But not mishlach manot, because mishlach manot is to bring people close together. That's why we give mishlach manot. Right? That's a problem. You're not supposed to give a woman mishlach manot, and a woman is not supposed to give a man.
What about families?
A family you give. A family you give. From your family to that family. Beautiful. But you have a mitzvah to give one to your friend. Okay. That's what it says here. If a woman wants, let's say, to give a gift to Rav Shalom, she wants to give her to Rav Arush. So you give it to Mishpachat Arush, like we said, a family. Or you give it to the Rabbanit Arush. You don't give it to Rav Shalom Arush. That's a noah. That's true. There's another halacha mishlach manot. You're not allowed to give to a mourner's house. or someone who's in the year of his parents or other relatives in 30 days, he can't send them. They're not allowed to receive mishkach manos from anyone. And also they send only one. Anyone who said shiva knows this. Anyone who lost his parents knows this. Okay. The halacha not to give gifts before shachris. We don't give gifts before shachris. Shachris you go and daven. Afterwards you give gifts. That's why mishlach manot and Purim you give after davening, not before davening. Even though it could be daytime already. There's a mitzvah to nishol b'shalom kol adam, to ask how you're doing to every person. Every person. At least to say shalom to him. Okay? Shalom, shalom, shalom. Okay? And it's...
You don't mean strange.
Why not? There's a guy here I see him all the time. He always says shalom to everyone in the street. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Oh, it's just shalom to everyone. Why not? Some people are thirsty that someone would just look at them. Some people are like me, I get a lot of attention. I sit here, I get attention from you. Sit downstairs, another shir, they'll give me attention. Look at me, I'm talking. Some people are very lonely. And no one's alone in them at all. Okay? It's a mitzvah. You don't have to do the mitzvah. It's not like you're doing a aveira if you don't. It's a mitzvah. Okay?
People can come to yeshiva and
be
and not have
anyone
say hello to
them. Could be, yeah. I'll tell you, I learned in this kollel at night. Today I'm there already for more than half a year and I know everyone and everyone knows me, of course. When I first came, so no one really paid attention to me besides one person. I learned with him today. Every night. One person, a very sweet man, his name is Zisman, which means sweet man. And his name used to be Bitterman, and he changed it to Zisman. Just an American guy. Many years he lives in that city. And when the first thing I told my wife when I came home, I have to be like this guy. He's shiny, he says hello to everyone. Unbelievable. That's how a person has to be. He doesn't know me. Yeah, I can't do it. Maybe I came here for one day. That's some different shul I was davening. For a few weeks I was davening there. Yeah. And no one really said hello to me. Besides one person. And every time I talk to that person, maybe two people came over to me. And I don't care so much, but it's a different feeling, right? And there's this guy, I saw him on Shabbos, we talked to him, gives you a feeling as if he's your best friend. Oh, where are you? What are you doing? Akiva's your best friend. I don't talk to him. I see him once a week. During davening, I don't even talk to him. We dance together around the bima. He gives you the feeling. And it's very important. And I can tell you a story about my grandfather, Zichron Levacha. My baby told me that he came, he lived in an Eretz Yisrael. He made Aliyah. After he retired, he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in the Knesset Hanasi. And then this other guy made Aliyah, a senior citizen also. And he came, he didn't know anyone in the shul, this guy. And he sat in the back. Sat in the back of the shul, and my grandfather saw him right away, he ran over to him. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, where are you from? So he tells him, come sit next to me. My grandfather told him. So he said, no, I'm fine, you're in the back, you know. I said, no, please come to me. He said, no, I'm fine, and don't do it. He said, no, I need friends, please come sit next to me. Then he went and sat next to my grandfather. Right? So my grandfather said, he needed a friend, he knows everyone in the shul, everyone knows him. But it makes someone feel like that they're wanted, that they're, it's very important. Another story, in America, my grandfather wanted, there was a certain guy, He needed some chizuk. He needed chizuk and learning, chizuk and stop. And my father told him, I was telling you for a long time, come, we're going to learn, what is it? He didn't want to learn with him. So one time my grandfather told him, after the meal tonight, we're having a shiur in my house. There's a shiur, there's a learning group in my house. Oh, really? Yeah, I guess he didn't come to one-on-one. So fine, so he came there, and he came to my grandfather's house in America, and he was the only one there. So he asked, where's the group? He said, you're the group. We're the group. And for years they learned together. For years. Every Shabbos after the meal. After Friday night meal. For years. Because you have to know how to talk to people. You have to know how to... I wish I was like that. Not yet. But I have what to look up to. Okay? So I have to make people welcome. Make people... I gave a show about this a few months ago. Blessing wasn't here. I'm not having best of it. He writes in the Kutei Alachot that the person that needs to part it, if you want to do kiruv on people, you want to bring people close to Hashem, you have to greet them, you have to show them a shining face, a nice face. Otherwise, how are you going to make them close to Hashem? So, when you say shalom to someone, it has to do with a shining face. It says here. It's a Alachot, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara. Okay? The Gemara says here that when you say shalom, you should be with a shining face, not shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, ואל תבוא לי בחלום. It's a phrase. Shalom, shalom, don't come in my dreams. Yeah? Shalom. Go to, bye. Shalom, אני אשמע.
It's with the bus driver, see?
To say toda to the bus driver afterwards, even if he's an Arab. So what? He drove you. He could have blown you up. He drove you. Okay, anyway. Top.
Are they starting that again?
I don't know if you want. Yeah. Is that we still live? Let's look at the other one. If someone tells you shalom, you're supposed to reply with an extra bracha. Not just shalom. Shalom uvracha, exactly. Someone tells you shalom, boker tov, boker ov. Add something to the bracha. Okay? Shalom uvracha. Okay? Boker tov, boker tov mevorach. You're supposed to answer like that. Where does he bring that from? It's a Gemara and Gittin. Gemara, it's all in Gemara. The Gemara teaches us everything, how to act. Beautiful. Oh, here, this is what you said. Saying shalom is to every single person. I think Gemara says, and the Mishnah says in the Avot, Eve Magdim Shalom Kol Adam, say shalom to every person, even if he doesn't know him. That's what the Gemara says. And brachas. And of course, if it's his Rav or his parents, or a Stam, an older person, an important person, of course the person says shalom, but even Stam, a person in the street. Sometimes it's weird, but you should know that when we do a patzah, we used to go with the books and everything. I do that less now, but I used to go. So I'm in that mood. So I'm like, shalom, manishma, shalom. And people are like, they're shocked. They're like, oh, someone's smiling in the world. You can see on people's face that this is so hard, this world. It's so difficult. Without Hashem, I don't know how people are living.
What about if you say Shabbat Shalom, you're walking to shul on Shabbos, and the person doesn't answer.
You're walking to shul in the morning on Shabbos? Yeah. Right. It's a problem to say shalom in the morning.
What?
It's a problem to say shalom before davening.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll learn that in a second. What?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't make a difference who answers you or not. You do your job. My grandmother told me a story, another story about my grandfather. Listen to this. She just told me this, I'm sick of it. She told me that they used to walk to shul, my grandfather and her and all their children, four children, and there was this big rav. We used to every week walk the other direction, and they to a different shul, and they walked to the other shul. And every week, my grandfather used to say, good Shabbos, and he never answered, he didn't even look. And for years, he's saying to himself. My uncles told him, what are you
stop telling you. You see, he's not answering you. He's obnoxious. This, that. Like after they told him, what does it make a difference what he answers? I'm not telling him to get an answer. I'm telling him to tell him. And besides, he's a big time chacham. He's probably busy in the sugya or who knows what, and doesn't even realize what's going on. But I have to say shalom to every person. That's how I used to live, my grandfather. So what to learn from people? And he wasn't like a big tzaddik. He was just a person with a lot of very Jewish kaza. He had smicha and he hid the smicha in a box. He never took it out. He did the smicha because his father told me, you do smicha and you put it away. You don't do smicha to be a rabbi. You do smicha to know the Allah. You're a Jew. You have to do smicha. What do you mean? That's what he did. So, okay.
The shul that I went to in Baltimore was a rab. Somewhere during davening, the rab could go to every person in JPC.
Big thing. How do the people feel when the rab comes over? They feel important. The rab is coming over to whom I am nothing, and the rab's coming over.
And if you were new, the rab came to see you. You never had that in shul. People always say, what's going on?
If you see a rav, your rav,
yeah,
not me. If you see your like Rav Shalom, someone like not just someone like me, a rav, like Abdul, I don't know, big rav. You're supposed to say Shalom Alech Rabbi, Shalom Arav. Yeah, you're supposed to mention the Rabbi. Okay. If you see a rav with a student, you first say Shalom to the rav, and then you say Shalom to the student. If someone tells you shalom, you're obligated to answer him. And if you don't, you're considered a gazlan. You're stealing the bracha. You're supposed to bless everyone back. Or you can also, you can answer also shalom, shalom. Someone tells you shalom, answer shalom, shalom. Add another bracha. Shalom ubacha, shalom, shalom, like we said. What time is it? I don't have a time.
Almost 2 o'clock.
Almost 2. A few more minutes?
Okay. About 3 minutes.
מצווה לשאול אפילו בשלום שונא, אולם אם הדבר עלול להגביר את השנאה, אלא כן הדבר עלול להגביר את השנאה. יש אומרים שאסור להגניב שלום לרשע, אחרי שהם חוקים, אם קיים לרשע, אם קופים בשלום. וזה מצווה, to say shalom to every Jew in the world. Even if he's a big Russia, they say shalom. כן? Unless you know that he gets upset at you, you tell him shalom. He gets more angry. Yeah, fine. So don't tell him shalom. And he's a mitzvah to say shalom also to Gentiles, someone who's not Jewish. Say hello to him. Okay, not extra, just regular hello. How are you doing? We're human beings. What is it? There's a famous story about a sheikhet or a baidik or one of these things. He went to South America to work in the factory over there, and every day they used to drive a few hours to the place where the shechita was, and he used to work there all day, and then in the evening they used to go back to the estate. So, and he used to go in, and every morning he used to say shalom to the guard on the way in and shalom on the way out. One day he was in the big freezer, which you can't stay too long in there. It's deep freezing, you freeze meat in there, deep freezing it's called, so it stays for years. You could stay in can't. If you do it regularly in your own house, it's like, I don't know, a few months, and you have to throw it out if it's regular freezing. But if it's like a minus 20, I don't know, something like that, just turn minus 16, I'm not sure the numbers, but that it's called, it's deep freezing. It stays for much longer. And he was in there checking something, and he got locked in.
Oi.
And he didn't know what to do. And it's evening, and everyone's leaving now, and no one can hear him. There's machines, there's this, and he's inside this freezer. And he knows that's the end. You know, give him a few hours, and he's part of the meat hanging there. Unfortunately, so He's just davening and saying Shema Yisrael. He feels how his body, his temperature is getting lower and lower on his body. He's trying. The last moment, he was already losing his akara, his consciousness, and someone came in and dragged him out. And we immediately took him to the hospital. He had all what's called a frozen, what's called a
frostbite.
Right, his whole body and the kids, the whole thing. And afterwards, he asked, "Who saved me? Who was this?" So it was the guard. The guard realized someone said hello to him when he went in. He's the only guy who said hello when he came in, and then he said hello when he came in. He didn't say hello when he got out. He said he must be here. He didn't say every day for months. He says hello coming in, hello coming out. He didn't say hello coming out, but he must be here somewhere. And he looked for him, and he found him in the freezer. And he saved his life. And it's a guard, some a guy who lives there in Argentina, wherever it was. It's a true story. How important it is to say shalom to everyone. Okay. If someone is sick, even if he came to yeshiva, in the afternoon, you ask, "Oh, how are you feeling today? You don't look so good." Is that? You're doing the mitzvah of bikur chayim. It's called mitzvah bikur chayim. You don't have to go to his house when he's laying in bed. Even if he came to yeshiva, he's not doing too well. And he asks, "How are you doing?" And Hashem will daven for you. Hashem will make you better. Is that your chizuk? It's called mitzvah bikur chayim. De'oraisa. You're learning from this parsha, Vayera. It's coming up parsha. Avraham Avinu, right? And Hashem came to visit him after he did the bris. Okay. One more halacha. Ish asur lishol b'shlom isha afilu al yeshu ba'ala ha'shedech. Amutza lishol ba'ala ha'shlom ha'giver. Okay. A woman. Right, a woman should not say, ask a woman mashlomech, like we said in a personal way. You don't even ask the husband, "Oh, how's your wife doing? How's she that?" Not nice, Ken. But you could ask in general, because I have the missus feeling everything's okay with her. Not in general, because it's not personal. Shalom, how are you doing? We're learning about saying shalom to everyone, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying, yeah. But if a woman's feeling good, you can tell if we're not feeling well. Like I saw my aunt yesterday, broke a leg. So fash lema, you can tell a woman fash lema. Everything should be general, like we said, not personal. Okay? A woman who something happened, something drastic, she fell down the stairs. "Oh, yeah, how are you doing? Everything's okay with you?" Of course you can do that, because it's not like in a closed way. It's more just like to see how the person is doing. Okay, so again, it's you have to sense it.
Sensitive.
Called the Jewish sense. So that's halacha for today. Come, sit down, Michael. Sit down. Sure.